Philippians. We're at chapter 4. We're moving. We're speeding.
Might finish it this year.
Yesterday we talked about the ones that are walking as an enemy of the cross of Christ. Anybody reckon themselves an enemy yesterday, any time, of the cross of Christ? Anybody even think about it? Gary is thinking about it now. For our manner of life is in heaven. We have been translated into a different kingdom. Translated, past tense. The kingdom of God is come, present tense. We are in the kingdom of God. We don't go to church, we are the church. It never stops. If it does stop, then you separate your life. If you separate your life, then you have, you're like, it's a spiritual, it's even less than spiritual kindergarten. It's either all or nothing. You can't live in two worlds. You can't serve God and mammon. Because the reason you live in the world here is because that's what you have confidence in. Right? You have at least some basis of seeing how this world works, you think. So you make believe. So instead of walking in the, or conducting your manner of life as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you continue to satisfy your life or walk your as a system of this kingdom, this earthly kingdom. You make judgments based on the same thing everybody else makes judgments on. And you seek after the same thing everybody else seeks after. And you wonder why things don't go the way you want them to. And what you don't understand is that the flesh is constantly suppressing down, trying to suppress down the spirit, and the spirit is constantly trying to suppress down the flesh, so that you can't do the things that you would or want to do or think you should do. And that's an act of grace, not being able to do or be or anything that you think you should. That's the best news there is. But as long as you still think what you should do is important, then you're going to constantly be at war with the Holy Spirit. Like, whatever it is. Right? You don't want to be at the war with the Holy Spirit anymore, do you? That's kind of fun. That's kind of crazy. And what does it look like? What does the kingdom of God look like? We can't see it. But it looks like what we're about to study. It looks like rejoicing always. It looks like not being upset if things don't go particular ways. It's never, ever, ever having any confidence in your own, or you don't owe your mind or your ideas or your flesh anything. It's a certainty that everything is finished. It's a certainty that you've been perfected by one offering. It's a certainty that you can't possibly need. Anybody get deceived yesterday? Why? You forget? Anyway, our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change or transfigure our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy, my crown. That's pretty interesting how he describes these people who were in a somewhat state of an apostasy. He said, my longed for, my loved.
Just in case.
My joy, my crown. Do you think maybe then he's trying to get the over to them that they're more important to him than his own life is? Well, is this some group of special people? No. They're not only special because at one time they heard. And I know everybody in here, at one time, you heard.
So there, in that sentence, he's addressing the most precious and valuable thing there is that supersedes everything, is that seed of Christ. All the treasure of the world don't stand up to it.
Then he goes on, he says, I beseech Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, why did he point out those two? Remember, this was written to the Philippians, in which there was some dispute, something else going on. So this could have been, you know, I beseech thee, Harry, and I beseech thee, Gary, that you be of the same mind. What is the same mind? The mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? 100% emptying. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And now he defines this, what our life is. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, but the word in the Greek is superabandonment. Let your our extraordinary abandonment of self be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. There's nothing, in other words, if he is here, that's what at hand means, he is here. If he is here, there's absolutely nothing for which I shouldn't abandon. Right?
If you could remember nothing, if I could remember nothing other than the Lord is at hand, it's just not possible to trip out and do all this stupid crap with Jesus at hand. Not possible.
Unless there's two things, because he is the living manna, and the manna, if eaten, meets every possible desire of the heart. Plus every other desire. Unless, if for a minute there's anger or bitterness, if the something tastes bitter, in other words, if you're upset about something, if anything isn't rejoicing always, then it's the Holy Spirit revealing either an idol or guilt. So, again, that's why it can never have anything to do with anyone else if you are upset. It's impossible. Because that person or situation that you're upset about is an idol, or it brought deep from within you guilt, shame. And that has to be repented of. It can't be dealt with. It can't be hidden. It can't be. That's why Tom is pouting, because something transpired and started the other morning when he said he's not ready to talk about it now. I got an email that said, you tell everybody to say what's there, and then if they say what's there, I say something to them.
You won't play.
I told
you.
You're getting strangers telling you this.
I told you.
I pick on these poor guys, these poor airy guys, especially Gary. You got another ally besides Scott. That's pretty dangerous.
Where does this person live? Maybe they'd like to come partake.
Well, let's just have a free exchange of saying what's there, and we can talk about honest liars and how God needs time. And
well, we'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, why don't you give me your opinion?
Yeah.
Can I share something?
You got it.
The point of it is, the reason you say what's there is so it doesn't get hidden. So you don't sit in silent righteousness. I want you to scream and yell at me just as much as I do at you. Oh, but we're supposed to be nice. We're supposed to be polite Christians. And that's isn't that like a
baseline?
You never, ever, ever offend anybody. And the scriptures say that. If you offend one of these, my little ones, it would be better for you if a millstone were hung about your neck and you were buried in the depth of the sea.
There you go.
Except the meaning of offense is if you the way you offend is you provide an opportunity for self-seeking. That's the scandalon. And so if I didn't say something, then I would be offending you. And if I do it, and you let me do it, then you would be offending me. Now, this doesn't make for polite society. But it does make for discipleship. And, you know, that's my favorite subject. Well, let's talk about time. I've only been here a few years, and I can't say something like that, what's on me, to an elder. That's the biggest bunch of horse hockey there is. There is no time in the kingdom of God. That's why we've been given eternal life. You say what's there. That's why the reason that Harry doesn't say much is because he's afraid he'll offend me. The reason Harry doesn't say much is he's thinking up ways to offend me.
I hope the little girls come back for lunch today.
What did that have to do with anything?
I had fun. Tell a little about you.
All right. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your super abandonment be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, there isn't a second where you have the weight on you. You don't have a concern. You don't have any, oh, I'm concerned about this, I'm worried about this, because it becomes, it's not just a habit, it's a lifestyle that you automatically, if there's the slightest weight, if there's the slightest feeling of heaviness, the slightest concern, it automatically goes on the altar. That's what prayer is putting whatever it is on the altar of God. And putting it on the altar of God, it's exclusively His business, and His answer may very well be silence. But it is illegal. It is a death penalty offense if you have put something on the altar to take it back. So let you, through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. It doesn't make any sense to anybody by any standard. Will keep your heart and your mind centered on Christ Jesus. Herein is this is the mystery. This is the answer, because it's the meaning of total dependence. But if I keep one, and maybe if you've only been here like 6 or 8 years, then you could keep something up. You could put it. You might have to do it 2 or 3 times. But if you've been here 30 years and you still are, you cannot. That's the hallmark of a believer, is no weight. Not even the weight of a napkin. Then why would you be concerned about something? Think about it. Why would you be concerned? It's very simple. You don't believe. Or you don't believe enough to put yourself and your being and your entity totally in the hands of God. You still have to keep some for you. It's very simple.
I'm saying this in terms of standards. You know, there are standards of behavior, and there's certain behavior that when a situation comes about, you shouldn't be abandoning. You should be worried about that and concerned and carry on and act like it's bothering you, because that's
the way of a Pharisee.
The way of the Pharisee, the way of the world, the way it should be. You've been taught, and that's what you bought into, so that's what you do. And it goes so far against this that you can, you know, pray about everything and give it to God and be free. It's like that is the opposite direction of everything in the old man that he says it should be. That's the life of faith.
Well, I mean, the obvious one. Well, how can you say that? I mean, you've got to be concerned about. And then you can list. The list can be endless, even in this room. Oh, you've got to be concerned. No, you don't. When?
Unless just now, because when you were talking about that, I remembered I used to be married to a friend at first, and it was like, it was pathetic. I did everything you could possibly do to not have a relationship. It was exactly the opposite of vulnerability, exactly the opposite of no weight. It was just like a textbook on how to not be a husband.
I mean,
I did it again.
Well, because
you're doing it now.
But stop. I mean, that's why Jesus used these incredible parables that, you know, they just seem like children's stories. You know. Consider the lily of the field. Toils not, neither spins not. Consider the birds. Consider the vine. The lesson of all of life, except at the human race, is to just be. You can't be and think about it. And I promise you, and I've learned from a great deal of experience, you can't be without offending everybody. I've noticed, I've known for years that every time I open my mouth, I risk every one of you leaving. That's a big deal. You can't protect anything. If you try to protect your marriage, boring.
As soon as you start, it's over.
I mean, your wife, your companion antagonist, will be so totally bored with you that she'll spend her life in the bathroom throwing up. Oh, I'm just loving you, honey. No, you're not. You're trying to eat her flesh because you've made. Oh, don't get me started on that one.
Okay.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Forget everything else. That's why, brethren, I count not myself to go backwards. We're going backwards to verse 13 of chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Again, It is so much more than forgetting. It's like super forgetting. It's like total neglect, and everything that is, because there can't be any behind or past in eternity, and there can be no future in eternity. So you can't be concerned about the future. That's the Holy Spirit's business. And you can't be concerned about the past because that's covered in the blood. This is the meaning of living the Trinity. How can you be concerned with the future? Because it's not by might nor by power, but His Spirit. How can you be concerned with the past? Because you can't be, because it's covered in the blood. And if it's covered in the blood, that means it's dead. And your life in eternity is in the blood. It's constant, ever fresh. You know, we've talked about how the scriptures call the woman the weaker vessel. It didn't have anything to do with anything. Like, well, I mean, she can't do this. Can't the weaker vessel, which is us, the bride. It just means it's the vessel that didn't have a base. And it carried the blood that was sprinkled at the base of the altar. And so because it was carried, because it didn't have a base, it could never be set down. Except because if it sat for an instant, then the blood would coagulate and wouldn't be suitable for the sacrifice. So the woman in type is the weaker vessel. She has to be embraced by the husband at all times. So she has no concern about anything. But we, as the bride, are embraced by the Father. So we can't have a second of concern. We can't be set at any point. That's why it's super abandonment, so the blood doesn't coagulate. It's everything in the offerings reveals this. And that's why we are careful for nothing. That's why, because the moment you have a concern, that means you've denied eternity. Does that communicate? So your life, your walk, the evidence is that you're careful for nothing. But everything in time and space is trying to get you to be careful for something. That's the way it's designed. So that the test, so that you will finish, or what does it say? You will prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only good and acceptable and perfect will of God is Jesus Christ in you. He is tested in us to fulfill or fill up what is lacking in the body of Christ, to perfect His bride. So you must always be in the same place. I understand that I can hear Harry. Well, if I didn't be concerned about this, then the magazine wouldn't get out. Well,
I've got my head up my ass, yes, but not overly bad.
You have to hear this. Out of the fullness of the heart is what your mouth speaks. And so, and out of the fullness of your heart is how you conduct your life. This is why confession is so critical. It's not so that you'll get something right, it's so that you'll empty the heart. This is why abandonment or prophecy or saying what's there is so critical. Not because you're going to get it right, but it's so that you can always be emptied. So that you can always, so that the vessel this doesn't sit so the blood clots. Careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. It's a simple, simple, simple way of living.
It's interesting that it's either that, the simplicity and the joy and the freedom, or you take the weight of the world and with your mental capacities try and make it work when the whole thing is designed against you.
Well, but you're not honest. This is why I'm saying you lie, because you take only this little thing. You narrow your boundaries real, real narrow, and you figure out that you need to do this about this. But if you are going to work anything at all in order to do it from God's perspective, you've got to go to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, find the Ark of the Covenant, find the ashes of the red heifer, breed the perfect animals without spot or blemish, find all of the tools and appliances of the temple. Find somebody and somebody that knows how to do all this stuff that hadn't been done for 2,000 years. I mean, it's just crazy. Oh, but we're waiting for Messiah to come. I know I've said this often, but I don't think it's ever. If you're still waiting for Messiah to come, when he comes, he can't prove he's Messiah. Because all of the genealogical records have been lost. So all this Messiah can do is tricks. And that's why you will be deceived. When it says, say not, go here for Christ is over here, or go here for Christ is over here, or go there, or this place is special, it's the same thing. You're saying, go here for the anointing to get something done, or go here because this place is more important than this place. Wherever your foot touches is holy ground.
Jesus is no longer at hand. He's someplace you gotta go.
But you understand that if you think this place is special, then you're saying somebody else has to. We're not special. We're idiots. Does anybody understand me? The fullness of the gospel is everything. What? What are you thinking?
I'm digesting.
Take no prisoners. What are you thinking?
I'm digesting.
You're waiting for it to gel? That's waiting for the blood to clot.
It's coagulating.
That's not acceptable.
I'm aware of that.
Then why are you doing it? Freedom is much better. Well, I can't pick on her because she's only been here a short time. What are you thinking?
I was thinking she's doing it because of years and years of stuff that she's learned. Probably.
Well, I'm saying unlearn everything, and you'll know everything. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, everything we learn is to protect ourselves, and that challenge, you know. Well, Al, I'm not going to tell you what I'm thinking because that will destroy me if I, you know, open up. I know about self-protection.
Crucifying the Son of God afresh. Counting the blood of the covenant is an unholy thing. How can you think of two things at the same time?
It happens.
Just different voices.
Only women can
competing voices.
17 voices at the same time.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They sprout out like
like mold spores.
Yeah.
I was also thinking earlier that the ways that I'm doing my wife injustice. She's agreeing to do it with me, but just the things that she holds herself responsible for, you know, she doesn't need to do that. I let her do that.
It takes pressure off you.
Sure.
But my point is, both of you shouldn't have any pressure. And it's difficult because, but yet it's simple. It's difficult because of Shannon. But because of Shannon, you should see its simplicity. You feel like talking yet?
It's so simple and it's so hard.
What's hard about it?
Leaving the world.
Is there anything out there you want?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
If not, it wouldn't still be there.
No, you don't. You know better than that.
I do know. It's the chasm between my head and my heart.
You know any other little cliches?
No, I know a lot. I know them all. Would you like to hear them?
I'll give you a cliche. He is no fool who gives up that which he never owned to gain that which he can never lose. All right, take it, big guy. I'm tired of talking.